When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Welcome back to Squawk Box. EV startup Fisker warning investors about its ability to stay in business. It comes after the company's annual loss came in worse than expected, and it missed its full-year production target of 13,000 vehicles. The company laying off 15% of its staff. The after-hours move in that stock, bringing the market cap now to just $250 million.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Fisker Inc.'s fourth quarter and full-year 2023 earnings call. All participants are in a listen-only mode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt, a podcast about electric vehicles, renewable energy, autonomous driving, and much, much more. That's the first time I ever got that right. The first time. Like, you guys don't hear all the screw-ups. I mean, you hear a lot of the screw-ups, but you don't hear all the screw-ups when it comes to introducing the show. I usually have to start over three or four times. Nailed that one. You know who didn't nail it? Fisker. So the guy who came on the line to welcome everybody right before the music played, that gentleman is a little too happy for this earnings call. Now, I don't want to bash on Fisker, but they're in trouble. And I take zero pleasure in doing this episode because I want Fisker to succeed. And they're very, very close to not succeeding. They're very close to just to going away altogether. But we're going to talk about that a little bit later. So let's take a moment to listen to the legal disclaimer, and then we'll go ahead and jump into the rest of the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fisker's fourth quarter and full year 2023 earnings call. As the operator mentioned, my name is Eric Goldstein, head of investor relations at Fisker. Joining me today on the call are Henrik Fisker, chief executive officer, David King, chief technology officer, Dr. Geeta Gupta Fisker, chief financial officer and chief operating officer, and Angel Salinas, chief accounting officer. Please note that today's discussion includes forward-looking statements about our expectations. Actual results in the future periods are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause our results to differ materially from those projected. These risks include those set forth in the press release we issued earlier today, as well as those more fully described in our filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Today's discussion may also include certain non-GAAP measures, including non-GAAP operating expenses. The financial results discussed today are presented on a preliminary basis. Final data will be included in Fisker's annual report on Form 10-K for the period ended December 31st, 2023. With that, I'm happy to turn the call over to Henrik.
Not so fast. That's my job. This guy's out here trying to do my job, or at least tell me how to do my job. So with that, let's go ahead and turn the call over to Henrik.
Thank you, Eric. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for our fourth quarter and full year 2023 earnings call. I want to start by thanking all our stakeholders, teams, and partners for all the hard work and continued progress we made in 2023. In addition, I'm very excited to introduce Angel Salinas, our Chief Accounting Officer, who joined us in early January. Angel has 28 years of public company accounting experience, He is here with us in the room, as Eric mentioned, and would be happy to answer questions, accounting-related questions later on. 2023 was a challenging year for Fisker. We achieved some important milestones for the full year. Fisker produced 10,193 Oceans and delivered over 4,900 across 12 countries. We are proud of what we were able to achieve, but acknowledge that these totals were below the guidance we provided during the year. Despite what we believe was the swiftest and largest delivery expansion of any EV startup company ever, supplier delays and other issues unexpectedly hampered our ability to ramp up production and deliveries during the year. While we made good progress in solidifying our delivery network, we were not able to efficiently accommodate our backlog of the pace we and our customers desired and deserved. This led to the decision that we announced in January of a shift to a dealer partner model. In early January, we announced our dealer partner model in North America and hybrid model in Europe, a big strategic shift for Fisker. We are making significant progress on this rollout, and I'm pleased to report we already have sent our first invoices this week to several dealer groups. We have received over 250 expressions of interest from dealers across North America, Canada, and Europe. Just recently, we hosted several of these dealers at our Manhattan Beach headquarters for a presentation of the Fisker lineup vehicles. It was an exciting day looking into the strategic future of our company. We are carefully choosing our dealer partners. At the moment, we have signed up dealers who are family-owned and some who want to open multiple stores for us as we grow. One example is a dealer who is interested in 9 locations in North America. Another example is a European dealer group who is working on taking the entire country in Europe. That gives me great confidence that we will be able to set up a comprehensive, wide-reaching dealer network in a very short time. I expect we will keep signing up multiple dealers every week during the next few months and have a comprehensive dealer work with approximately 50 dealer locations in both North America and Europe by the second half of this year.
We've talked about Fisker's willingness to partner with dealers in the past, so we're not going to really hit that too hard at the moment. Maybe later on, if somebody asks a question about it, we'll bring it back up. I did want to clarify something, though. He mentions hybrids in Europe. He's mentioning hybrid deals with European dealers, not hybrid cars. And I'm pretty sure people in this audience know that he's not talking about hybrid cars, but I just want to make sure. And then the other thing that I was curious about is, has Fisker figured out how to fix their logistics issue? Like, are they going to be able to get cars to the dealers when the dealers, you know, need them? I'm not so sure they fixed that issue at this point. Again, I have not listened to this entire earnings call, so I guess we'll find that information out later in the call. But like, if you can't get cars delivered to where they need to be, I don't know how you help your sales numbers. And that's going to be really important for Fisker going forward, because they're very close to running out of money, like razor thin amount of money left. So they really need to get these cars out the door and sold. All right, let's get back to Heinrich's opening statement.
As we recognize the EV market is growing at a slower pace, we want to be prepared. We have already initiated a strategy to make our company even more lean and competitive. Specifically, today we announced a headcount reduction of approximately 15% of our workforce, mainly as a result of this shift from direct-to-consumer model to a dealer model, as well as streamlining the company in other areas. We recognize that success is not a straight line. We are bringing to the world the most sustainable electric vehicle. We knew this would be difficult, but we are in this for the long haul and are confident in our direction. We believe the Ocean platform is competitively priced and has several class-leading features, including a best-in-class range of 360 miles. But we also realize that the EV industry is going through a turbulent and unpredictable period, so we want to start this year with a more prudent plan. We currently anticipate delivering approximately 20,000 to 22,000 Oceans globally in 2024. We expect sales momentum to build throughout the year as our dealer footprint expands. We continue to bolster the breadth and depth of our management team with key executive leaders, key executive leadership hirings of seasoned and experienced executives across departments, including financing, accounting, and marketing. I want to highlight one important development regarding our senior convertible notes. On January 21st, Fisker entered into a second amendment and waiver agreement with the holder of the 2025 senior convertible notes. Pursuant to this waiver, among other items, the company has obtained a release from the note holder relating to certain intellectual property belongings to Fisker upon the company entering into a certain commercial agreement with an automotive original equipment manufacturer, OEM. The waiver provides us with the increased flexibility to pursue strategic collaborations. Dita will speak further on the convertible notes in her remarks.
We'll make sure to listen to Gita's opening remarks. I honestly don't know what this convertible note stuff is all about, so I'm curious about that. But I do want to address this slowing EV market statement. And I'm actually genuinely curious about your opinion on this. Is the EV market slowing, or is there a lack of affordable options? I see a ton of Kias and Hyundais and Tesla. I saw two Kia EV9s on Saturday night. Different cars, same parking garage. So obviously people are buying these cars. Is it just that there aren't people or as many people buying these, you know, $45,000 to $60,000 EVs? Because it's a lot of money. We don't really have any affordable options or real affordable options. I would say the Kia Niro EV and the Hyundai Kona EV have taken place of the Chevy Bolt, or are good options if you wanted a Chevy Bolt and you can't get one. But in terms of cars that are, I don't want to say cheap, more affordable, that's pretty much all you got. So what do you think? Is it a slowdown of the EV market, or is it just a lack of affordable options? Send me an email, Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. Next up, Heinrich's going to share his strategic vision for Fisker.
On the strategic front, Fisker is in negotiations with a large automaker for a potential transaction, which could include an investment in Fisker, joint development of one or more electric vehicle platforms, and North American manufacturing. The close of any transaction would be subject to satisfaction of important conditions, including completion of due diligence and negotiations and execution of appropriate definitive agreements. Turning to the Ocean, as mentioned earlier, we are proud to have delivered over 4,900 Fisker Oceans in 2023. And in the fourth quarter, we produced 4,789 vehicles and delivered 3,818 vehicles, an increase of approximately 250% from Q3 to Q4. In 2023, the Fisker Ocean won six different European awards in Germany, France, Denmark, and United Kingdom for Best Electric Vehicle, Best SUV, and Best Product Design. These accomplishments mark an important validation of the world-class product that our incredible talented team has developed. The Ocean OS 2.0 over-the-air update has already begun, which includes performance and powertrain improvements, enhancements for Solar Sky, improved energy management, and other user experience improvements. Additional OTA updates are planned throughout 2024. This shows how advanced and fully connected our Ocean vehicle is compared to most of our competitors. The Ocean is simply getting better and better. But I will have David King, our Chief Technology Officer, address our OTA strategy in more detail later.
The major automotive company he's talking about, it sounds like that's going to be Nissan, although I don't think anything has been confirmed on that. And as far as the over-the-air update goes, we've already talked about that. So we'll go ahead and continue on with Heinrich's opening remarks.
Let's talk about our future products. In 2023, we rolled out our vision for the future of Fisker products with the Pear, a radical new segment-busting compact SUV designed to capture a large addressable market, and Alaska, a vehicle in a segment of its own. Now that several OEMs have postponed their EV programs, Alaska will sit in a unique market segment without any direct EV competitors due to its price and features. The Alaska is about the size of a Ford Ranger, but with luxuries, unique features, and bed sizes from 4.5 to 7.5 feet. Expected pricing at $45,900 and up. This is the next model we are concentrating on right now. We will only continue to invest in these programs if we complete a strategic collaboration or investment with an OEM.
I'm not one of those people that's like, hey, you should focus on the business that you have right now and not look towards the future and work on things in the background. I don't think that that's a good way to do business. However, I do see a little bit of Trevor Milton, who was the founder of Nikola Motors. I do see a little bit of him in terms of marketing, carnival barker kind of guy. Like Heinrich Fisker has announced a lot of different products. They're a company that has not a lot of money left over. Like rather than pulling focus off the Fisker Ocean, which is a great car, the difference between Trevor Milton and Heinrich Fisker is Trevor Milton turned out to be a con man who went to jail. Heinrich Fisker, I think, is more of a marketer and actually builds good products. Like the Fisker Ocean has a lot of issues, but it also has a lot of good things about it. So I think that's a little bit of the difference between the two people. Anyway, it feels a little bit like, you know, Fisker's, you know, the house is burning and Heinrich Fisker's on the computer looking for a new house instead of calling 911 to put it out. Like it seems like there's a bigger problem over here that we should be addressing. And then at some point in time, if you want to buy a new house, great. Let's address this overall problem, because a lot of the problems with the Fisker Ocean can be fixed, and that can transfer over to the Fisker Alaska. That is 100% true. But you need to have those back-end logistics in place so that you can actually deliver cars. And that for me is like a concern. And I'm sure that they're working on these things, but they just cut a bunch of staff. I don't know. Layoffs suck. I don't want anybody to get laid off, but I understand why they happen. I don't know. This whole thing is just concerning to me, is really what I'm trying to say is, hey, let's use this earnings call to address the problems and assuage the concerns of investors and analysts rather than marketing that next product. Maybe that's what it boils down to. All right, next up, we're going to hear from David King. If you don't know who he is, he's the chief technical officer and also sounds identical to Peter Rawlinson, the CEO of Lucid Motors, which in my fan fiction world, Peter Rawlinson works for Fisker under the pseudonym David King, and he happens to be Fisker's chief technology officer, which is probably not true. I've never seen them together. I've never seen them in the same room together. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's go ahead and listen in. One more thing before we go to the clip. I cut out a lot of his opening remarks, not because I didn't think they were good, but they were just kind of rehashing a lot of things that we've already talked about on this show. So we're going to pick up on an update on software 2.1, which will be released in March, 2.2, which will be released in April, and then software update 3 or version 3, which will go live in May, according to Fisker. All right, let's get to David.
Looking ahead, we are preparing now to release OS 2.1 in March and OS 2.2 in April, both of which will be smaller in scale than 2.0, while we finalize the next major feature upgrade, OS 3.0, in May. 2.1 will introduce Alexa, scheduled OTA, and further center screen enhancements, while OS 2.2 will add memory seats, some general calibration refinements, and a UK time zone fix. OS 3.0 is our next major OTA package, and we are in the late stages of testing and sign-off now. Feature content includes torque vectoring, one-pedal drive, further ESP refinements, hill descent control, new exterior sounds, and a suite of ADAS performance improvements and features, including active cruise control. Our vehicle engineering team is just back from a comprehensive winter test and sign-off trip in Sweden earlier this month, with excellent results on the ice lake, where even the front-wheel drive entry-level sport version gave an excellent account of itself.
All right. So it sounds like the software's coming along. He said a lot of other things, but I did not include them in the update just because they weren't really relevant. They're things that we already talked about before. I think I've already mentioned this. So let's go ahead and move on to the financial part of the earnings call. And again, I cut a lot of this out. I actually left Henrik's full opening remarks in there. I just broke them up so we could talk about each section. The rest of this is all cut up. So here's Geeta Gupta Fisker's financial report. And again, I chopped it up to make it more appropriate for this show. Link in the show notes if you want to hear the whole thing.
We ended 2023 with $325.5 million in cash and cash equivalents and $70.5 million in restricted cash. Our cash position fluctuates based on a variety of factors. Since December 31, 2023, there has been a reduction, further reduction in our cash due to ongoing operations. Before we move on to our outlook for 2024, I'd like to address our liquidity situation and 10K status. We expect our capital expenditures and working capital requirements to decrease in 2024 and beyond as we enter the second year of Ocean production. However, our business plan is highly dependent on the successful transition and execution from selling direct to customers to our new dealer partner model. Furthermore, to the extent our current resources are insufficient to satisfy our financial requirements over the next 12 months, we may need to seek additional equity or debt financing, and there can be no assurance that we will be successful in these efforts. If the financing is not available, or if the terms of financing are less desirable than we are expecting, we may be forced to decrease our planned level of investment in product development. We may have to scale back our operations, including headcount and production of the Ocean, which could have an adverse impact on our business and financial prospects. As a result, we expect to conclude there is substantial doubt about our ability to continue as a going concern when we file our 10K with the SEC. To address potential liquidity issues, Fisker is already taking action. We are currently in discussion with an existing note holder about potentially making an additional investment in the company. The use of proceeds, if a transaction is consummated, is expected to be for general corporate purposes, vehicle production, and the ongoing transition to a dealer-focused sales model. In addition, as previously noted, Fisker intends to reduce its workforce by approximately 15%. Headcount reductions are predominantly related to change in sales strategy from direct to consumer and to a dealer partner model. In addition, we are streamlining operations, including reducing our physical footprint and overall expenses. Regarding our 10K, Fisker is currently unable to file its annual report on Form 10K for the year ended December 31, 2023, the 2023 Form 10K, within the time period prescribed. Fisker needs additional time to finalize its consolidated financial statements and evaluation of disclosure controls and procedures. We currently expect to file the 2023 Form 10K within the 15-day extension period provided under Rule 12b-25. Turning to our 2024 outlook, as Henrik stated, we expect to sell between 20,000 and 22,000 units in 2024. With the rollout of our dealer network underway, enhanced by the improvements and optimizations made to our outbound logistic operations, we believe we have a strategy to make this happen in the most efficient and financially prudent way. Importantly, the carrying value of completed vehicles in our inventory and prepaid raw materials at year-end was approximately $530 million. During the first half of 2024, we expect to generate cash from the sale of existing 2023 production vehicles that are largely paid for, supporting monetization of our balance sheet. In addition, we expect a higher than usual cash contribution from the Oceans produced and subsequently sold in the first half of 2024 as the company consumes raw materials that are already on its balance sheet, meaning they are already paid for. On a non-GAAP basis, spending for SG&A, R&D, and CapEx for 2024 is expected to be in the range of $320 to $390 million. Of this, SG&A is estimated to be $200 to $230 million, which is lower than our annualized fourth quarter run rate. R&D is estimated to be in the $60 to $80 million range, and CapEx is also estimated to be in the $60 to $80 million range. Together, this guidance strikes a balance between our asset-light model, our prudent investment plans, and streamlining the company's operations further to achieve our goals for 2024. Our estimated average selling price per vehicle will be in the range of $56,000 to $62,000 after taking into account import duties and dealer commissions.
So there's a lot of financial stuff in there, and it is complicated. So it comes down to they have $325 million, or at least they did at the end of 2023. They need money. The good news is they've prepaid for a lot of the materials, so that should help. What they spent in 2023 should help them make money in 2024, which, fingers crossed, it will. Right now, we're going to move on to the retail investor questions. And the first retail investor question is, what is Fisker's next move?
Given the recent decline in the stock price, what is Fisker's next move to improve shareholder value? And how many new dealers does Fisker think it's going to gain with dealer partner model?
Well, first, Fisker is intently focused on the transition from a direct-to-consumer sales model to a dealer partner model that I already talked about. Also, we have over 250 interested dealers between North America and Europe. And obviously, we are going to convert a lot of those as fast as we can into signed up dealers. We right now have 17 dealer locations already signed up between US and Europe. And we have already started taking invoices from dealers and actually start to ship the first cars to dealers today. And I expect by the end of this quarter, we will have 50 dealer locations between in US and in Europe. And I expect by the end of the year, we will have at least 100 dealer locations here in the US. And in Europe, probably about 60 dealer locations, 50 to 60.
I'm curious, do you think that Fisker will be able to get 160 dealers in 2024? I don't know anything about the car industry. That seems like a lot, but maybe it's not. And maybe, you know, Fisker is getting all of these dealers clamoring to sell their car. I'm not saying they're not. I don't know. I do want to clarify something because I'm not sure. I mentioned Fisker having dealers and not having the logistics behind the deliveries to make that work. I don't know if we've played it yet or we'll play it in the future, but Gita actually said that they're working on their logistics. They're getting that all smoothed out. So that's good. That's good news. On the positive side for Fisker is the Oceans are going to get seen by more people as long as there's, you know, Oceans in stock for people to see and test drive. And Fisker will be able to expand its service network for these issues that are occurring that need actual physical repair and cannot be repaired over using an over-the-air update. So that's good. All right, next up, we're going to hear a little bit about mergers.
All right, second question, we're going to be pretty limited in terms of what we're allowed to say, but the question was, have there been any serious merger discussions with large automakers?
Yes, we've already had many discussions with large OEM partners or potential partners, but one have progressed quite far. And we are now in the middle of negotiations with one large automaker for a potential transaction, which could include an investment in Fisker, joint development of one or more electric vehicle platforms, and North American manufacturing. The close of any transaction would be subject to satisfaction of important conditions, including completion of due diligence, and negotiation and execution of appropriate definitive agreements.
Okay, so we mentioned this in the past, and I'll have an audio clip for you at the end of the show of Henrik talking about who they may or may not be in discussions with. He doesn't name any companies. He just kind of talks around it a little bit. I didn't put the final retail investor question in here. There was only three. And the reason why was the question was basically 2023 was a terrible year for Fisker. how are you going to rebuild trust? And they just restated talking points, and I didn't think that was worth, you know, going back through. All right, next up, we get to our analyst questions. By the way, I love this operator, and I hope that all EV companies use him in the future. I am not saying this to make fun of this person. Like, I genuinely think their attitude is infectious, and I got a kick out of this guy.
Our first question comes from James Piccarello with BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, this is Jake on for James. First, just as you guys build out this dealer partnership model, how should investors think about the cadence for production deliveries through the year? As you scale this up and then try to convert some of the, 5,000 some vehicles in inventory into cash.
Yeah, I can take that. This is Henrik. Thank you for the question. First of all, we don't have 5,000 vehicles in inventory because we have already sold vehicles, obviously, this year. Secondly, we have a very unique setup because we are having contract manufacturing. So versus maybe other startups, we don't have an issue producing cars. We can go and get even more cars produced if we wanted. So we wanted to start out with a rather conservative prediction of actual deliveries and sales this year of 20,000 to 22,000. Should it turn out that we are doing much better, we can easily increase our production. That's not the issue. So I expect that with the dealer, what we are starting now with this rollout with the dealers, that will accelerate fairly quickly up in sales. But we do need to sign on dealers, and we do have to go through diligence with each dealer. It in best case scenarios, it takes about a week to sign up a dealer from we get out their application to they're fully signed on and have ordered the first car. We have done a few a little quicker, like in 3 days. So it can actually go fairly quick. We do have to get licenses in certain areas. But for example, we already have got our license in California. We also have the license in Florida, just to give two examples. Those are two of our biggest markets. And we already... I have signed up dealers across different other states. California, I expect, will be signed up with dealers pretty much all around California starting next week. And that's obviously the biggest market, and also starting next week, Florida as well. So I see a fairly quick sign up here in the U.S. Canada as well, we're in discussions already and have already identified dealers there or dealer groups. And in Europe, as I mentioned earlier, we actually have dealer groups who wants to take entire countries, which means they're going to move very fast. And also, as I mentioned earlier, we do have our own facilities in each of the European countries. And some of these facilities, for example, where a dealer takes the entire country, they will actually take over the facility. So that, again, reduces cost. But it also means they immediately have facilities. One point I want to make as well, which is very important, is a lot of dealers have access to existing real estate, some because they built nice real estate during COVID for used cars, and the used car sales are not as hot as it used to be. So we're able to move into them immediately. Others is because they have left certain brands, and they therefore have fantastic looking dealerships ready that we can move in immediately. So the dealers we are signing up right now, we are moving vehicles straight into the showrooms, putting up a new sign and open for business.
I think this is really interesting. I had no idea that this was happening in the used car market. Like, dealers were opening up more showrooms, and then when the bottom of the used car market fell out, then they just had all this empty space. So that's great. Just kind of anecdotally, on Sunday, I went to the Tempe Marketplace, which is a shopping, eating area. And I got off on the wrong exit, so I kind of had to circle back around. And I think it was on McClintock and Curry, the intersection of McClintock and Curry, there is a Fisker Motors, I think it's a delivery center. I don't think it's a service center. It might be both. But I found that to be really interesting. Now, I will say it was a Sunday. There were no cars in the parking lot, but I could see inside the building, and I saw probably five or six. Keep in mind, I was driving, so I probably should have been paying better attention to the road. But I saw maybe five or six Fisker's inside, right next to the bay doors, so or the garage doors. So I don't know if that's a good sign for Fisker or a bad sign, but at least they're getting cars from place to place, so that's a good sign. Next up, we're going to hear about future product development.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Our next question comes from the line of Dan Levy with Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking the question. Maybe you can just talk to future product development. I think that you said right now the you're working on some strategic developments or some strategic agreements with OEMs. But maybe you could just comment. I know you mentioned Alaska. Where does Pear stand? And then maybe I could also squeeze one in as well. I know the distribution model is changing, but maybe you can comment on if there's backlog or just any indications of underlying demand. Thank you.
So as we say clearly in there, Dan, thanks for the question. We are not planning to start, external expenditure on our next projects until or we have a strategic dealer or strategic OEM partnership in place. However, as we see in the market, we see that the biggest opportunity for growth and I think profitability and getting speed to market is with the Alaska. So the internal team are now focused on Alaska, and so that would be in at this moment I see our next vehicle, but Pear obviously would also be important as well because it's a very affordable vehicle, but we do have to prioritize. So that's how I would answer that. The second part of the question, can you just mention that again?
Just any indications on order book or demand? Yeah.
So I think that we have to go with a very cautious prediction because we do see EV sort of negative sentiment, whether it's in media or generally talked about, and maybe for some companies. I would say that what we have seen with our dealers is the opposite. We have actually seen them being super excited. I think part of it is that the dealers have been sitting, looking over the fence for the last 15 years of startups selling direct. They have never really been able to participate in that sort of growth that's happened in the EV segment. They've only read about it. And now for the first time, dealers in the U.S. specifically are able to get an American independent automaker's car into the dealership. And that gives them a whole new competitive edge they've never had before, but they actually can go out and start competing against the best-selling EV at the moment. And that obviously comes from an independent EV maker. So they're extremely excited to have our vehicle. Like I said, we already have dealers ordering the vehicles. And, you know, dealer don't order one vehicle at the time. It's, you know, can be 50, 100 or more, depending on how many locations they have. The advantages, I think, for us is that they're ordering multiple vehicles now, and they're going to sell them in areas where we have not been present. So I actually forecast a pretty good demand, specifically here in the U.S., because of this whole new thing that's happened, where for the first time, these dealer groups, which, by the way, have multiple brands, but they have never had a product like ours before. And they're super excited about it.
I genuinely hope that they're super excited about it. I am a little bit skeptical. I don't think the dealer's sentiment would be exactly how Heinrich presented it, if I had to guess, just based on different things that dealers have done over the last couple of years. Maybe some, but probably not a lot. I'm glad to hear the stuff you said about the strategic partnership. The Alaska makes the most amount of sense because that will be something that is closely related to the ocean. They share a lot of the same parts. And then it's something that they can price in a way that they can make the most amount of money on. The Pear, which I think is a great looking car and really interesting, the margins are just going to be lower, and Fisker needs a cash infusion for sure. He did mention that Fisker is an American company and the dealers are going to be looking forward to selling an American company's car, but it's an American company, but the parts are made the car is assembled in Austria, not Australia, but Austria. So that one's a little far-fetched for me. Let's see. The next clip is going to be a little bit more about the future OEM collaboration. I wrote collab because I'm fancy. And we'll see what they have to say about that.
Our next question comes from the line of Jeff Osborne with TD Cowen. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Henrik. Two-part question. I was wondering if you could just give us a sense of how long you expect the due diligence process to last with the OEM. And then in the event that that doesn't come together, if Geeta could quantify what the OPEX and CAPEX commitment is in 2024 to prioritize the Alaska, I'd assume if an OEM partner doesn't pan out that you would look to curtail that. So if you could get us a sense of, you know, what might be the next steps in the unfortunate event if the partner doesn't manifest itself.
So first of all, we have been in diligence for many months. That's all I can say to that. And, you know, we are looking to obviously wanting to close the deal as soon as we can, but I can only give the information we have already said about that at this point in time. I did say many, many months ago, I think 5 or 6 months ago, that we were in talk with multiple OEMs. And I think today we're really saying that we are now in the middle of negotiating with just one OEM, but obviously it's not like that started yesterday.
I think your second question is if that doesn't happen, then what do we do with Alaska? So at this point in time, the guidance we have given is ocean only. And as I mentioned in my script, that any programs which are beyond the ocean would only incur expenses if there's a strategic collaboration. So we would not be incurring any expenses on any vehicle programs in the absence of an OEM collaboration.
For Fisker's sake, I am really hoping that this collaboration comes through for them. I am happy to hear, though, if it doesn't come through, Fisker isn't going to continue on putting a bunch of money into the Alaska or any of their other products until, you know, they're in a more stable financial position. I do not want to see more people get laid off. This is why I really hope that they're able to make some sort of agreement. And also, it just kind of goes back to this. I really like Fisker and I want them to succeed. This next question is really good, I thought. And it has to do with minimum volumes for dealers to order and then who does the marketing for the vehicle.
Our next question comes from the line of Chris Pierce with Needham. Please go ahead.
On the dealer side of the world, are there any minimum volumes that dealers have to kind of commit to join the program? And does that inform the $20,000 to $22,000 unit delivery guidance, or is that guidance informed by signing up more dealers? And then is there marketing that you guys have to do in those regions where those dealerships are, or is it on the dealer to market and sell the cars kind of on their own?
Thank you for asking the question. I'll take that. So we do have on our public investor deck, we have shared with our what our dealer partner model looks like. And of course, in Europe, we have a hybrid model. We don't have a franchise model like we have in the U.S. Or in Canada. We are following very typical guidelines that sort of the NADA framework suggests. We are obviously looking at a certain minimum inventory, and typically those are 30 to 45 days because you want to make sure that you're supplying our dealer partners with enough inventory. Given the fact that we've had limited exposure of our product, we expect that we will be able to get multiple points and we will be able to supply inventory again, for 30 to sort of 45 days. That's, you know, typically, again, something standard in the industry, nothing unique in our model.
And then to the marketing point, obviously, the dealers, they do a lot of their own local marketing. We do have a co-op program where we will support them, but they have to spend money on marketing. And obviously, some of these dealers are in very prominent locations. And they, for example, will go to the local malls and display the vehicles or do events. We have a dealer right now in Atlanta that's actually doing an event this weekend already. And we are helping out there with him, but he's really, obviously selling the vehicles there. So I would say, I think getting out, dealers almost in every state in America. I mean, sometimes we forget how big America is, but it's huge. And, just for now, we have been able to sell thousands of cars out of literally two locations where people could see the vehicle, New York and Los Angeles. So the fact we already have another 17 locations in between U.S. and Europe is already, we have gotten three times as much in the U.S. alone of what we used to have. So I see that just being able to go down to your local dealership, see the vehicle and try it out. And I also want to say the dealer groups that we pick, we are not picking, people who's never sold a car. We are concentrating around fairly large family-owned dealerships. I mean, it's not everyone that's like that, but that's sort of what we're seeing at the moment. So, for example, Mills Auto that we signed up, I believe has around 30 dealerships, and I think he has around 10 brands. So, and a lot of these dealers have multiple brands in the same location. So when you go down and buy or look at a certain brand, you would go down, you would see the Fisker there as well. And that's the same in Europe. When you go down, there's maybe five or six brands right there owned by the same dealer. So we get automatic exposure that we've never had before. I mean, there is still a large amount of the population, probably the majority, both in the U.S. and Europe, that's never even heard about Fisker. So building the brand is something the dealer is going to be part of, and that's something which I think is going to accelerate with appointing these dealers.
I don't have a very high opinion of auto dealers, and I just really hope what Henrik is saying here, is the case. So let's leave it at that. I hope everything he's saying happens. All right, that is the earnings call. I do want to leave you with a couple of things. One, I have a Bloomberg Squawk Box clip that I want to play for you where Henrik is talking about the OEM. He's not giving anything away here, but I did think it was interesting.
The situation is that you're talking to a single automaker and you're not naming that automaker, but the hope is that you form a partnership. And that partnership includes an investment from that automaker into your business to give you a cash injection. My question is, why would the automaker do that at a time where EV demand or growth is slowing and the legacy OEMs are pulling back?
Well, good to be on the show, Ed. Well, you know, we have already shown that we have delivered a vehicle, which is the first real competitor to the world's best-selling EV, the Tesla Model Y. It has a longer range than Tesla Model Y. It has more features than Tesla Model Y, and is better priced. And I think that, of course, everybody wants to kill us right now. That's clear, because nobody likes a disruptor coming in the market and doing this. But, you know, I think we have value. And we have proven it. We have two vehicles that are ready to go, both an affordable EV as well as an electric pickup truck. So I think we have a lot to offer. And, you know, yes, it would be great to get a large OEM in. But, you know, as we pivot to our dealer model, I actually feel we are doing really well right now, despite all the warnings and concerns that are out there. So I think we have a lot to offer.
So, The short question is, what happens if there's no savior? What will you do? And the way you explained it to me is you have $500 million worth of finished goods inventory and parts inventory. And it hasn't really worked selling direct to the consumer. So you're shifting to a dealer model and you have all these cars ready to sell. And you think that that will unlock cash pretty quick, right? How can you tell me with confidence that that's going to work, the dealer model, to start getting cars into consumer hands?
Well, first, we're not, I don't think we're looking for a savior per se. We're looking for a strategic partner. That's number one, which we are discussing with. But number two, yes, we have a lot of inventory already that we have purchased, about $500 million, which means we can unlock that cash. And we have already signed up about 17 dealers or dealer locations, both in U.S. and Europe. And the dealers are super excited to actually get our vehicle because finally they can get hold of an independent EV maker. You know, the dealers in U.S. has been sitting and looking over the fence for 10 years of having looking at the best-selling electric vehicle, the Tesla Model Y. They've not had any competitive product. And finally, they get one, which is the Fisker Ocean, with a 360-mile range, longer than the Tesla, and better priced. And our dealers are ecstatic to get this product. They have not been able to have a product like this before. And I can see that this is going to go really well for us with the dealers because they're being in locations we formerly weren't. Yeah. We only had two locations in the U.S., and now already we have more than nine.
Henrik, you say you're an independent alternative. You say you're not looking for a savior, looking for a partner. But what lengths would you go to ensure that you remain a viable business? Would you sell the business? Would you give up majority control?
Well, I believe that we are a viable business in the sense that we have a great product. We are signing on dealers. And as I mentioned, we will generate a lot of cash with the vehicles we are selling because they're pretty much paid for already. So is a lot of our inventory that we have at our manufacturing partner. So at this point in time, we are looking at a partner. I don't think we need to discuss, are we selling the business, et cetera. I think we are in discussions with a very large car company, and that's what we are aiming to finish that discussion and making a strategic partnership as soon as we can.
That big partner that you're in talks with, are they American? Do they have to be American? Could you look to China? Because many would say, look, the viable competitor to a Tesla is BYD. But there's a lot of limitations to having deals with Chinese partners right now.
They're not Chinese. First of all, you know, there is nobody except for us that actually has a viable competitive product to the Tesla Model Y. Nobody has a vehicle on the planet that has a longer range than Tesla Model Y except for us. And we also have a better price. So, of course, everybody wants to kill us, but we have seen multiple car companies being interested in us because of that, because we don't talk about having a product in 2 or 3 years like some other startups. We are talking about having a product now. We have it. It's ready. And yes, we do need U.S. manufacturing, and that's what this other OEM is offering us.
Henrik, we're having some trouble with your shot, so I'm just going to jump in real quick. You say that they're trying to kill us. You know, let's end this on a positive note. One thing you explained to me is your guidance, 20 to 22,000 EV deliveries this year. And you're really confident that if demand improves, you can dial up the production, right? And deliver more of them. Just explain that in the context of the relationship you have with Magna and your business model, because that seems to be the confidence you have that you can get yourself out of this situation?
Yeah, so Magna obviously is a contract manufacturer, and they can produce, if they want, 70,000 vehicles for us, 50,000 vehicles. We're obviously going out with a conservative 20,000 to 22,000 deliveries this year. But if we see that there's more demand, and in fact, we have had a few dealers telling us, are you sure you can deliver us enough cars? Because we think we can sell more cars than what you're offering us right now. And yes, we can then dial up the production very easily. And that's something that's unique for us because we have a contract manufacturer. And, you know, I'm very confident that we can easily sell the 20,000 to 22,000. We want to start with that conservatively. And if we can do more, we can dial up production. No problem.
That is a confident man. I don't think that he's correct in what he's saying there in terms of they're the only competitor, real competitor, the Tesla Model Y. There are other cars that are out there that are selling in the, you know, I don't know, tens of thousands, let's say, that are really good alternatives to the Model Y. Granted, the Model Y has something, what did we say, like 37% of the market, something like that, in Q4 2023 here in the United States. That's tough to beat when you can only produce 20,000 cars a year. It's going to be a bit, is what I'm saying. Heinrich may have, or Fisker may have, the competitor to the Model Y. Then again, those are just words until you actually sell cars and get them to people. So I would rather him talk about the things that they're going to do aside from dealers and, you know, the typical cost-cutting stuff. What are they going to offer customers to make them want to buy their cars? How are they going to market this car? They're really good at marketing. Let's market the car that you're building, not the car that you want to build someday. All right. I'm going to let it here. I'm going to let it go here. I'm going to let it go here. Fisker had a rough 2023. So let's just all toast to a better 2024. If you want to email me, it's Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. You can also find me on X at 918digital. And that is it for me this episode. If you enjoyed it, email me or let me know on Twitter. Hope you all have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you on Friday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.